I learned a long time ago that whenever you speak to a group of people in public, one of the most important things that you can ever do is to try to identify with the people as fast as possible. And so I'm going to do my best to identify with most everybody in this room, not quite so much the young people, but in particular the adults. And that is, first of all, you and I, many of us have something in common. All of us have something in common. And that is, most of us have one of these. You know, this is called what? Credit card. How many of you have at least one kind of credit card in your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, good. I'm glad I can identify with you. Now, if you have one of these, then I'm pretty confident that I can say that you get one of these. Now, what is this called? This is called your personal account summary you get every month from the credit card company, or you could call it your monthly bill, however you want to look at it. Now, I want to do what Jesus did back in his day, because whenever Jesus preached, he always took an illustration from his day. He took something that was very common and very natural, and he used it to lift our mind up to another level, and that's to that which is spiritual. And I want to show you tonight from the credit card and this account summary one of the most important things you could ever learn in your life, and that is that you have a personal account summary with God. And I'm going to ask you to look with me tonight in Matthew chapter 12, and I want to read to you tonight beginning in verse 31. And we're going to see it tonight in the Word of God. Matthew 12, verse 31. Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." By the way, that's good news for almost everybody in this room. How many of you have ever said bad words before? Raise your hand. Don't lie, because that's another bad word. Okay. How many of you have ever spoken about somebody in a negative way? Gossip, slander, got mad, said something bad about somebody. Raise your hand, okay? By the way, you know what that's called in the Bible? That's called blasphemy. Because you can blaspheme both God and man. So that verse that I just read applies to all of you in this room. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's called serious business. There's some things you just don't want to say, amen? But even those who curse... By the way, how many of you have ever heard somebody say Jesus Christ, but it was not praising the name of the Lord? Raise your hand. All right, that's talking about people right here. Who speak a word against the Son of Man, thank God, even those people can be forgiven. Now let me read the next verse. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. In other words, what he's talking about, our conversation. What comes out of our mouth reveals what is in our hearts. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. One of my friends used to say, what rules the heart wags the tongue. So, he uses the illustration of a tree. He said, if you got bad fruit, it means you got bad roots. So if you ever got bad stuff coming out of your mouth, where does it come from? It comes from the condition of your heart. Notice the next verse. Now, this is Jesus speaking. O generation of vipers. Or, O generation of snakes. Now these are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In other words, if you got evil coming out your mouth, you got an evil in your heart. If you got good coming out your mouth, It means the condition of your heart is right. Verse 36, here it is. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, here it is, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now tonight, I want you to consider your credit statement before God. Because every one of us sitting in this room have a personal account summary before God for the things that we have done in our life. What does he say in verse 36? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Folks, God has an accurate record of every word you have ever said in your life. Now, how often do you use this? How many of you would say I use this probably more than I should? I have three children right now. Fact is, I talked to them tonight on Skype. You know what I mean by Skype? Computer. You go on your computer and you can actually talk to somebody, you know, like the Jetsons. You remember the Jetsons? I Skyped my children today. Three out of my four children right now are in Jerusalem in Israel. And the most dangerous thing about this trip that they're on is not that they're in Israel, but they have my credit card. How often do you use your credit card? Let me ask you this question. Are you surprised at the end of the month how often you used it? Or perhaps how often your wife used it. Let me ask you a question. Has your marriage ever been threatened by one of these things? And at the end of the month, you get this bill, this statement of your use of your credit card, and you look that thing over, and I'm telling you what, they haven't missed a lick. Have you ever used your credit card? Now, don't be dishonest. And you sort of hope deep down in your heart that somehow they didn't get it registered. And at the end of the month, you'll go back and look through and hopefully they didn't get it. You know what? I haven't had that happen yet. Every time I use this card, it shows up on this statement. Now, folks, whether you accept the truth or not, the Bible says every idle word that you speak, you will have to give an account thereof in the day when all men will stand before God. You see, folks, there is a God. He is the creator and the maker of heaven and earth. Every one of you are made by God. And every one of us one day will give an accounting to God. And He says very clearly what we will give an accounting for. He says we will give an accounting for every idle word. Now, what does He mean by idle words? Well, we know at least in the context right here, what's going on is, and I won't take a long time to explain it, but in that day, there were people that were speaking against Jesus. By the way, it hadn't changed in 2,000 years. But not only that, whenever Jesus did a miracle, He did the miracle because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So He made the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. And He delivered people from demons and diseases and death. And all of this was a testament to the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He did these miracles in the Holy Spirit. But what happened? When people began to see the miracles He did, then they had to make a decision. Either Jesus got His power from God, or He got His power from another source. And many of the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day did not believe that Jesus got his power from God. Therefore, there was only one other option, and that is he got his power from Satan. And when the Bible speaks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it means that they attributed to what the Spirit of God was doing, they attributed it to Satan. And what they were doing is that they were in their hearts rejecting Jesus Christ. And what Jesus was saying, the reason why you were saying that is because you have a heart problem. For what comes out of the heart, what comes out of the mouth is what comes out of the heart. And you are taking and cursing God because it reveals there's something wrong with your heart. So when he speaks about idle words, he's not just talking about typical conversation you have with people. He's talking about the kinds of words that are by their very nature evil. Now, how many idle words have come out of your mouth that are evil? You take a lunch break, a coffee break, and you go out with your friends and sit around the table, and who do you talk about? You go to a sporting event and the referee makes a bad call. Do you stand up and say, "Praise the Lord"? Is that what you did? A number of years ago, I was down in South America, the country of Uruguay, and we went out one night to see two professional soccer teams play each other in their national stadium. It was a local team from the capital city of Montevideo playing another professional team from another city. And we're sitting there in the stadium and they're watching soccer. Now, in America, we have fans. In South America, they have fanatics. And apparently, the referee, at least in the mindset of the people in the stadium, made a bad call against their favorite team. And so the place erupted and everybody stood up and they started yelling in Espanol. And so I turned to the missionary and basically said, "Señor, no comprende. What are they saying?" He turned back to me and he said, "You don't want to know." Idle words. How many of you have ever gotten mad and cursed? Or told a lie? Or complained? Or criticized? How many of you have spoken dirty words or told dirty jokes? How many of you have talked about yourself, which is your favorite topic of conversation? Whether you were proud or you were bragging or you were speaking about yourself. How many sinful words in your lifetime have you spoken? Well, folks, I want you to know that God has a record of every word we have ever spoken. Think of that. Did you know that the average person speaks enough words in a day to fill up a book? If you took that book and put it up on a shelf and you lived to be 70 years old, you will have filled a college library of 25,000 volumes. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 139 verse 4, "Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." God has an accurate record of every word we've spoken. Now, I've not even discussed the actions that we have done or the thoughts that we have had, just simply the fact that God knows everything that we've ever said. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had to, by the way, in order for you to get into heaven, maybe you know this, maybe you don't know this, but in order for you to get into heaven, you have to be perfect. Did you know that? God only lets perfect people into heaven. Now, some of you sitting there and you don't believe what I'm saying. Look, for most of you, I know the Bible better than most of you. And I'm not bragging. That's just fact. And I'm telling you right now, Only sinless, perfect people get into heaven. And that means from the day you're born to this very moment, you can't have any wrong words come out of your mouth. Today, my son and I, Michael, who's 13, and one of the guys on our team, Mike, we went out and played a little golf today. Played 9 holes. They played 18, I played 9. We went over here to Thatcher Golf Course, not too far away. And it's an easier golf course. You know, it's not like, you know, some real fancy club. It's just your basic, you know, local golf course. And so, I did pretty good. I shot a 40 today on a par 35. But you know what? I had 2 double bogeys. You know what a double bogey is? It's not good if you don't know what it is. The par is how many strokes you're supposed to take to get it in the hole. That's called par. So you have a par 4, it takes 4 strokes to get in. A bogey is 1 above par, that's 5. Double bogey is a 6. I had 2 double bogeys. Therefore, my round was not perfect. I had a good round, but I didn't have a perfect round. You may say, well, Steve, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I don't cuss too much. And I don't speak too bad about people, and you know, and I only just speak bad about people because the people are bad. And so you really look at yourself as being a pretty good person. Well, let me tell you something. For you to get into heaven, when God opens the books and looked at your account summary, I'm telling you tonight, you have to have a perfect record. And if you don't have a perfect record, you don't get in. Jesus made it very clear that we all have a personal account summary. Now, there's something else I want to say tonight, and that is that not only do we have a personal account summary, but number two, we all have a payment due date. Now, when I get this, do you do this? When you get your account summary, I always look at two things. I don't look carefully at all the use of it, okay? I do that later on. But as soon as I get the bill, what's the first things you look at? You look at what is the balance? How much do you owe? And secondly, you look at the payment due date. When do I have to pay it? Now, the Bible tells us that God holds us accountable for every word we've ever said. Now, watch this very carefully. If He holds you accountable, then there's going to be an accounting. So when is the due date? When is this accounting? And the Bible's very clear. Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the what? Judgment. When do I give an accounting for my life? I am going to die, and God is going to hold me accountable at death. Now there's one thing that is sure, and that is you're not going to escape death. There is a fable told from the Middle East that tells of a Baghdad merchant who sent his servant one day to the marketplace to run an errand. When the servant had completed his assignment, he was about to leave the marketplace. He turned the corner and unexpectedly he ran into Lady Death. The look on her face so frightened him, he left the marketplace and hurried home. He told his master what had happened. And he requested his master's fastest horse so that he could get as far away from Lady Death as possible. And so he got on that horse and he rode all the way to a city called Samaria, and he got there by nightfall. Well, later that same afternoon, after the merchant himself went to the marketplace, there he also met Lady Death. He said to her, "Why did you startle my servant this morning?" Lady Death replied, "I didn't intend to startle your servant. It was I who was startled." Lady Death said, "I was surprised to see your servant in Baghdad this morning because I have an appointment with him in Samaria tonight." It is appointed unto man once to die. How many of you have ever heard of the famous actor named John Wayne? You ever heard of him? 1979, ABC Special Report, he was being interviewed by Barbara Walters. In that report, he explained sometimes that he had a difficulty looking at his old movies. And he said these words, "It's kind of irritating to see that I was such a good-looking 40-year-old man, and suddenly I look over and I see this 71-year-old man." He said, "I'm not squawking, I just want to be around for a long time." Well, he wasn't. He died 6 months later on the 11th of June, 1979. Death, ladies and gentlemen, is an appointment that nobody in this room is going to miss. C.S. Lewis said the statistics on death are impressive. So far, it's 1 out of 1. So when is this accounting going to take place? Folks, every one of us are going to stand before God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Now, here's the problem. When you get this bill, you start looking at it. If you can't pay the whole thing, then something else you can do. You can pay the balance or you can pay the what? Minimum. And so the minimum is the minimum amount you can pay without getting a penalty fee. Now, may I say to you tonight that when it comes to the matter of our sins, that we can't even pay the minimum. You know, there are many, many people, and this is true, and I actually feel very, very burdened about these people who actually believe that if they will do their best, and let's put it this way, if they'll pay the minimum, God will understand and He will accept them into heaven. I was preaching in South Florida a few years ago. A teenage girl was sitting in the back of the building. I walked up to her and I said, "You look confused." And she said, "I am." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because of what you preached." I said, "What did I preach that confused you?" "You said," she said to me, "you said we can't get into heaven by our good works." I said, "That's exactly what I said." She said, "That's confusing to me." She said, "I've grown up and my grandmother taught me that when I do bad, if I do something good, I'll make up for the bad. And by doing the good and making up for the bad, then God will understand and God will accept me into heaven." And I looked at her and I said to her, very kindly, I said, "Then you ought to be confused. Because that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that even our best efforts are like filthy rags." Could you imagine going home tonight after church and walking in and your wife said, "Sweetheart, would you like something to eat?" And you say, "Sure." And so you sit down and you eat a sandwich together and talk together. And then afterwards you say to your wife, "Sweetheart, let me clean up the kitchen for you." She said, "Oh, no, don't worry about it. Just wipe down the table and the cabinets." And so you say, "Sure." So you go outside in your garage and you get your greasy, oily rag you change the oil with on the engine block. And you come in and you begin to wipe down the countertops. And all of a sudden they're black streaks everywhere. And you wipe down your wife's oak table and here are greasy, black, oily streaks. And you look at your wife and say, "Sweetheart, is that all you need me to do?" And she stands at you and she looks at you and she gives you one of those looks. Have you ever seen those looks? And suddenly you realize that though you did the best you can, what you did was not enough. The Bible says that we get into heaven not based on our good works, but based on God's grace to us. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now let me tell you your real predicament. Not only can you not pay off the minimum, it's actually worse. Let me illustrate it this way. Suppose I get this bill here. Let's see, this month here was September of last year, okay? This is September. It's paid for. Don't worry about it. So let's say, all right, I get this, and I look at the amount that I owe. Now, right now it says finance charges, 0. But let's say I didn't pay this. The next month, do you think there are going to be finance charges? Oh, yeah. But let's say I keep using the credit card and I don't make any payments. Not only do I get charged for what I did, but I get compounding interest put on top of it. I get late fees. I get penalties charged to me so that it begins to multiply and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. The Bible says something very, very interesting about our sins. For every time that we sin, and it is recorded and accounted, not only are we accountable for those sins, but the Bible actually gives the hint that there is actually a compounding interest going on. If you sin and you live to be 80 years old and you add up all your sins, you don't only pay for your sins, there's compounding interest on it. And we read in Romans 2 and verse 5, it says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you store up for yourself in the day of wrath, you store up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Here's what happens. Not only do we sin, but when God comes to us and show us the way of salvation and forgiveness and we reject it, what does it do? It begins to compound and store up greater wrath. And that's why it is so incredibly important that we get this issue of our balance and our account summary settled. Now I want you to go back and look at Matthew 12. And he says something very interesting. He said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now at this point, I've only talked about being condemned. And I hope at least at this point, you're sitting there tonight recognizing that I'm in trouble. But he also says, by something, if I could say it this way, by our words, we actually can be made right with God. Now how can we do that? How do we settle the balance? And the Bible teaches that God has provided a way whereby we can settle our account and pay off all of our debts. But it's not something that we do for God. It is actually something that God does for us. And how does He do that? Think of it this way. In the world of accounting, in accounting ledgers, in an accounting books, you have basically what we call two sides. You have the debit side, which is what you owe, and you have the credit side, which is what we have. Debit side is what you owe. The credit side is what you're good for. Now, when you look at your account, or you were to look at my account as we stand before God, I'm going to tell you right now that you have a lot on the debit side. And I want you to know tonight, you don't have anything on the credit side. So when you stand before God, you are owing Him. But God has made it a way where actually He can remove everything on the debit side. And not only that, but He can credit you on the positive side. And how does He do that? He does that through the coming into the world of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me just simply explain it to you. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son into the world to actually deal with what you owe God. And Jesus Christ came in this world, and what's the first thing we know about Jesus? He was born a human being. His mother Mary was a virgin. She conceived a baby, and when Jesus was born, He was 100% human being, and at the same time, He was 100% God. And we know that He lived as a Jewish person under the Jewish law, God's laws. And the Bible is very clear about this, that from the day He was born to the day He died, He never committed one sin. He never sinned. Never said a wrong word. Can you imagine that? Never had a bad thought. Never did a bad deed. So if we were to look at Jesus' account summary, because He was a human being, then when we would look at the debit side of His account, there's no wrong there. But if we were to look at the credit side of Christ, Everything he did was perfect. His whole life was a life of perfection. And what God has done is God has made a way for you to have the debit side on your account removed and to have Christ's righteousness, His life, placed to your credit. And how does that take place? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm just showing you what the Bible says basically in a nutshell. Just simple. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Let me read it to you. It says, "For He," that's God, "has made Him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." All right, let me explain that to you. God sent His Son into the world, Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. But the Bible here says that God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. What does that mean? It is in reference to the death of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. For on the cross, what God did is He punished His Son for our sins to pay off the debt. What is the penalty? What do we pay for our sins? The wages of sin is what? Death. And Jesus Christ went to a cross, nailed to a cross, and He on that cross paid the debt for everything that we owe on the debit side of our account. And it shows you the intrinsic value of the death of Jesus Christ. For what does it cost to pay off the sins of the world? And the Bible says it's the blood of Jesus Christ that is precious, that is greater than silver and gold, that pays off the sins of the world. How can we tonight stand here and estimate the value of the death of Jesus and the shedding of His blood? We can only estimate it in this way, that His blood can wash away all of my sins. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, what does that mean? Here's my debit side. Here's my credit side. There's nothing on the credit side. And it's loaded up on the debit side. But God sent His Son into this world to go to, basically, when He went to the cross and died, that was the payment due date. And on that cross, He paid it up for us. How many of you, have you ever had anybody pay off your credit card? How many would like for somebody to pay off your credit card? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't recall anybody ever paying off my credit card, but I do have children. And they do have credit cards. Therefore, I have helped them pay off some of their bills on their credit card. If somebody came up to you and said, give me your account summary. They look it over and say, okay, you owe that much? Okay, I got it covered. How many of you get excited about that? Hey, you want to pay mine off? Here, go ahead, take it. Now, I'm just trying to explain it to you. You have a payment due date, and that payment due date is death in God's judgment. But what did Jesus do? He went to the cross and He paid it off. That's what it means. But wait a minute, when you pay this thing off, it only brings you up to zero. That means you don't have anything. You just paid off. But something happened to me a couple of years ago that was one of the most exciting things I'd had happen in a long time. That is, I got the credit card bill, and I started reading it, and it didn't look right. And I read it again, and this time I double-checked it, and I found out that the month before I had overpaid it by $378. And this time, it was credited that I actually had $378 to the good. And so I got in my car and I drove as fast as I could to get to Home Depot. For us, a credit card is just basically borrowing money to pay off. But what the Bible is teaching is that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, here's what happens. His death pays off everything on the debit side. But His life is credited to my account. Remember I told you that only perfect people get into heaven? That's right. Whose perfection? Yours? No, His. And the moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ, it is at that moment that God pays off the debt and He credits my account. Now, here's how we finish. Go back, if you will, please, to Matthew 12. And notice what He says in verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We've already shown that we're condemned by our words. Now, how can we be made right with our words? And here's how you're made right. Are you ready? If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. That is, with the heart you're trusting Jesus' righteousness to be yours. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will tonight with your mouth confess that you believe that Jesus lived perfectly for you and died on the cross for you, and you are confessing your dependence on Jesus Christ, the Bible says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. But if you deny Him, He will deny you. May God help you tonight to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you bow your head with me, please, as we pray?